Oh, we're live. What happened there? I got a
It
cattail on my face.
Sneaky, but sneaky.
Well, welcome everyone to Spilling Ink. We're so happy to wait, don't move, don't move, don't. All right, never mind. I gotta abandon that microphone for a less faulty one here. I am the Jason Lavelle, of course, and I'm joined tonight by our lovely host, Captain Trainwreck. How are you doing tonight, Captain?
Wonderful. Absolutely wonderful.
I like it that we're both doing the flannel thing tonight. That worked out well.
Lumberjack night.
Yes, yes. And then, of course,
I wish I had gotten the memo.
There's got to be something in a closet there, right?
Yeah, it wouldn't fit me, though. My mother-in-law is like 4'9", so.
Oh, goodness. Well, you all know him. You all love him. It's the great Joe Compton from Go Indie Now.
Hello, everybody.
How are you doing today, Joe?
I'm pretty good, man. Pretty good. You know,
excellent.
got Star Wars out of my system. Got my birthday behind me. You know, got some cool gifts that I'm gonna use for my trip here in January to the lovely Park City that I go to now almost annually. Well, now it is annually. It's be my third year in a row doing it. And my book is in shambles, but that's the way it should be because now I have to put it back together and you know, it's like Humpty Dumpty, right? So that's where I'm at. And yeah, things are good. We're about ready to wrap up our broadcasting for the year in a couple days. And so, yeah, everything's great.
That's awesome.
So how did Nano turn out for you? Did you get all of your word count in? And now you said your book is in shambles. Are you doing all the revisions?
Yeah, I didn't really officially participate in Nano. I just did the sprints, which I found fantastic. Those were awesome. But yeah, I got through it and I actually finished. I didn't finish the book till about 3 to 4 days into the line editing. So they were line editing while I was at the end of the book trying to finish it. So it was like trying to rush past them to, you know, get so that they can get through the line edit. And yeah, I finally got through that and I've been waiting for them to give me the word to just go ahead and take the book on. And I've looked at it a few times because it's in a shared folder, and I see that I have a lot of work ahead of me. But that's a good thing. I think that's what a good editor does, right? I think that's something that is so sorely underestimated and underutilized in our profession. And I think looking at it, I go, I'm very lucky.
Yeah. Well, and I haven't met a good editor. Who do you use?
Ooh, don't say that too loud.
Well, you know I'm kidding. I'm kidding, Julia. I'm kidding. You know I love you. Don't tell Rebecca. Don't tell her.
And I have to give, I mean, Julia's great. Rebecca's great. And, but I have to give a shout out to Emily, who's part of their team too. Emily is really, she found a lot of things that I would never saw ever. And I was like really super impressed that she found a couple words that I use. Like she did it without like word searching it. And she's like, you used this word about 27 words ago. You might want to change it. I'm like, whoa. Okay.
The crutch words.
Yeah.
For me, it was you used that word in the last sentence. And it's usually the word thorough or though. That's my go-to, right? Yes. So when is that book due? What's your publication day?
It's in March of 2020. So I think
that's
it's
kind of quick.
Yeah, that's
I think
not
it's
far.
The 13th of March, I think is the official day. I'm not sure. It's one of those. It's around the teens in that respect. We just talked about the cover. Rebecca and I just worked on the cover and she, you know, they're coming up with some concepts for that. And so that reveal should be happening pretty soon.
Okay, so when do you start your marketing push? Because I think it's what 3 months that they.
I probably will begin in January. Yeah, because okay. I have, so I'm taking you know, as I'm treating Go Indie Now kind of like a television station in that I'm kind of following the model of the seasons for television, and so I'm taking a little bit of a hiatus between January and February for mid-season programming. And during that time, I'm going to record a bunch of stuff, of course, and get ahead of the game a little bit because I am going to Park City for a week. But on top of that, I knew that was about the time frame in which I was going to have to ramp up my activity with my book. So it all worked out pretty well. And so that's, I'm going to concentrate more on that in January for that. So
what is the new book going to be about? Tell us a little bit about it, if you're allowed to.
Sure. It's the sequel to Amongst the Killing, which was my first book, is a crime thriller. And it follows some of the same characters, not exactly the same characters, but characters that were in the first book. And it takes the journey of the next step in the relationships that were formed at the beginning and end of the book, and moves it forward. Basically, it's called We the Moral Majority, and it's basically about one of the main detective in the first book. He's running for mayor of Los Angeles. He was touted by the Moral Majority Party. So this takes place in the early 80s when the Moral Majority was around. And it's an actual thing. You guys can look it up if you don't know who the Moral Majority is. Ronald Reagan was the big star of the Moral Majority movement. So it's just him running for mayor and his wife dealing with the fact that he's running for mayor and that there's all kinds of, you know, politics and conspiracies going on and things like that. So.
Is there some killing in it?
There is some death. Yes.
Yes.
Not as much as Amongst the Killing, but but yeah, I racked up the body count pretty high in the first book, but the second book is not as much, but there is some.
Okay. All right. It's not necessarily how much there is. It's, you know, how much impact you give each one. So I like it. So what about you, Katie? What are you writing right now? Are you still working on the series with J.E. Taylor?
Just sent that one to editing. So we are finally done with that one. And actually, I just got in the mail today. Ooh. My author copy.
Well, hang on. I've got to make you a solo. Oh, that's pretty cool. I like it.
Look how big and thick that book is.
Nice.
So nice. Yeah, just today, right before we went on, I checked the mail and I had my author copy in there, which I've been waiting on and waiting on. I was like, oh my God, yay, finally. It's a real thing. And we just turned in book three to editing, and that one should go into production, and we're right on schedule. So next month, book two comes out, February book three comes out. So just boom, boom, boom.
That's awesome. And I love the promo that I saw a few days ago. It was, she's not going back to hell. Or never going back to hell. That was good. I really liked that a lot.
I've been having a lot of fun. I'm learning a lot of new skills in Photoshop. And so I'm applying them to the promo as I learn them rather than just doing dummy files. So as I learn a new skill, I'm making something fun with it. And I don't know if you saw the other one I did where Rebecca, I took a image of like a nice couple with their cat, and I was just putting little blurbs, little thought blurbs with
them.
Oh,
I did see that one. Yep. That was good.
Just to be funny, you know.
Yeah.
No, and if you want to hear a preview of the first book, J.E. Taylor actually did a reading for us on our new releases segment, which will release on Tuesday. So
sweet. Awesome.
It's really good too. Yeah. It's a really good I don't know if it's a pivotal moment in the book, but it's a really nice, I enjoyed it. I enjoyed trying to.
I don't know which one she picked. Oh, now I've got to listen.
That's awesome. Yeah. We have to make sure you tag us. That way we share it on our page as well. So we see it. No, that's really cool.
And then Katie will do the next one for the next book. And then Jane will finish it up with the third. Actually, the way that we're going to work it, right, I think, is Jane's going to do the first one. Katie's going to do the second one, and then they're both going to do the third one. So,
yeah, and I think I know what scene I'm going to pick for that, because since we're both reading it together, I'm going to pick a scene where Phoebe and Fate are snarking at each other.
Nice.
I think you should do it as a harmony. Like you both read at the same time the whole time. Give it some extra body.
Yeah, because I don't have enough bad editing problems to deal with already. Thanks, Jason.
For a show, we just record, us both on the screen reading together. I think it would work.
No problems at all with that, I don't think.
No.
We'll figure it out. We'll figure it out.
No, there's no sync issues or anything like that.
Oh, speaking of sink issues, man, I've been having all sorts of plumbing issues in my house. It has not been good. I hate it.
Are you not a handyman?
You know, I am like a semi-handyman. I mean, I've got YouTube. YouTube is great.
Yeah.
But yeah, we haven't had to hire anybody yet. But so far we're slowly getting through stuff. But my garage door is about to go out too, and I know those are about $1,500. So I'm not looking forward to that one, because that's one that I don't know that I could do myself.
Oh, you gotta be careful with the garage door. Yeah. That's spring. That's dangerous.
Yeah, it seems like it. Like I can imagine the whole thing just like on top of me. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I run into a garage door before. It's not fun.
With a car?
No, with my head.
Oh.
On purpose?
So I didn't have keys to my house. And so our garage is below our house. And so what I thought I was going to be smart about was I was going to, you know, run and try to outrun the sensor as I hit the button, kind of do like Indiana Jones and roll under the thing, you know?
Yes.
And so I got halfway and realized that I didn't jump as high as I thought, and the sensor tripped and the thing stopped. And as I jumped right into the
oh,
door.
Oh man.
And knocked myself pretty silly. I didn't have a concussion, which was weird, but I hit myself pretty hard. But I went right to urgent care right from that moment, because I was feeling a little woozy and a little loopy. And so I went right there, and yeah, I drove there, which was probably very smart on top of all of that. And it's a good 25 minutes, not a good like 5 minutes away from my house or anything.
Oh my gosh.
And then I got there and they just laughed at me and let me go. I had a little lump on my head. That was it. And the door actually took more damage than I did. There's a big dent on our door now that can never be fixed.
And that door is still there to remind you of it.
He reminds my wife of it all the time. She goes, look what you did. This is coming out of our deposit. You realize that, right? I go, yeah.
Oh, Rebecca, man, she's got you dead to rights there.
Comedy on fire tonight.
I think I ran into a garage store with a bike on top of the car once.
Ooh.
So I technically didn't run into the garage door. The bike hit it. But yeah, destroyed that bike. It wasn't a happy scene. The garage door was fine. Yeah. So, yeah. So what's
right now? I have not run into a garage door yet.
Oh, you've got time. There's still time for you.
Yes.
You know, you've got a lot of life left to live. So what's new, guys? I mean, last time I talked to Joe, we were talking about how the publishing companies wanted to meter the libraries using the ebooks. Has anything new, crazy stuff come up in the last week?
Not really. This old article keeps popping up into my feed a lot, which is the distinction between indie publishing and self-publishing is starting to people who are self-publishing are trying to call themselves indie publishers because they're manufacturing corporations behind their name instead of, you know, just publishing as themselves or whatever. And so in an effort to kind of mask the fact that they're actually a self-publisher and not and try, it's this whole thing about it. And I guess the big five called a bunch of people out about it and made fun of them or did something. I didn't read the whole article, but it was just, I just thought it was a masochistic article that, you know, just highlights the fact that, you know, they're a little bit afraid. So what do you do when you're afraid? You deflect and you make things up and you try and make somebody feel bad about themselves when really there's nothing to feel bad about. You know, it's just the way it is.
Gaslighting of the indie community by Big Five.
Yep.
And it's not just the Big Five, but there's some indie publishers that are upset about it too, because they house more than one author. And so they've
small press. That's a different thing. Independent publisher is supposed to be for that single person or single entity who's publishing from their collection. Whereas small press is exactly that. It's the smaller publishing houses that are publishing multiple things.
Well, we've talked about this 100 times, you know, 1,000 times just on my shows. And I know you guys have talked about it too. And it's just the fact that, look, everybody in some way is an indie published author because they've got to do their own marketing. Or like, I know, I know an author who's a big five author who negotiated their rights to their eBooks because they felt like the big five wasn't going to treat them correctly and wasn't going to help them. And they knew that that was part of their bread and butter. So they ended up, you know, publishing their own eBooks through themselves or through a subsidiary company that they created as an indie to do that. And so I think in every aspect, we're all in the same boat. We're just paddling in a different way, you know? So that's how I feel.
There shouldn't be the animosity between either formats. I mean, really, we're all trying to do the same thing. We're all trying to get our stories out there, yeah. Whether it's through the big five or whether it's through small press or doing it ourselves. Everyone's end goal is to get people to read their work.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And as an indie, and I think we should point out, indie just means independent, meaning you're doing it yourself. Just like self-publishing means you're doing it yourself. Okay, guys.
That's the funny thing about it. It's not just the word.
There's a lot of stuff you have to reach out to do. I mean, technically, yes, you could write and publish a book without editing. But really, every person who writes a story needs to find some separate set of eyes to edit the work. Yeah. You know, it's not just solo. It's not 100% do it yourself. There is a lot to the publishing process that's community based.
Yeah.
Yep. And you know, the idea behind, you know, being an indie is that you're the one that's kind of wrangling all that. Or if you're working with a small press, which I do consider to be part of indie publishing, you know, you're working with them to make all these things happen. You know, they're not going to have the resources of a big five publisher. So it really is a team effort, but it's still a form of indie publishing in my opinion. But, you know, you have to be, when you're dealing with something like Amazon, where there's millions and millions of books, especially as an indie, you have to be smart and creative and a little bit clever about how you're marketing yourself. So if that means you're creating a company that you're publishing your books through and you want to be called This Publishing so that you're more likely to be tried out by someone, I don't think that there's anything wrong or deceitful about that, because you're still giving them the product you're advertising. That's all you want to do is get them to open it and read it. That's all we want. You know, read the book. So I don't think there's anything wrong with that at all. But you're right, Joe. You know, that's something that we've all talked about a lot of times. But, you know, it keeps getting brought up. And one way or another, they want to drag the little guys through the mud as much as possible. And I think that's the bottom line, is they want all of the money.
For us, that should be a telltale sign that we're doing something right, because they're scared. They wouldn't do that if they weren't. They wouldn't care. You know, we're cutting into their profits, and that's when they start to notice. And when that happens, you know, they start on their smear campaigns, and they do their things that they do, like what Macmillan did to the libraries and so on and so forth. And you astutely brought up the point in my show is that this is all about money. It has nothing to do with anything else. It's all about them getting more money for what they're doing. And so, you know, it's kind of, not to get political or anything, but it's kind of what our country is about right now. It's the 1% gathering as much of the land and money and everything, the riches that they can, and hoarding it and not letting anybody else have it. And when somebody breaks in there and starts to take a little bit away, even just a little bit, even if it's insignificant to them, which it is, it's totally insignificant to them. The market share that we hold is totally insignificant to what they're doing. Then it becomes noticeable to them. And once it becomes noticeable to them, they're going to do everything they can to make it go away. And however they do it is however they do it. But, you know, I, I don't want to think that they're bad people. They're just rich, and they want to stay rich. And so, I mean, I don't know how I would react if I was in their shoes either. I mean, I might be the same way. I don't know, but it's really disheartening, because I just think that there's so much good stuff not being seen because of this. And that's the hard part about it, is like, I mean, when you can put out, you know, dumpster fire after dumpster fire and let give Michael Bay $100 million just so he could blow something up in the middle of the harbor and call that a movie, you know, not, you know, yes, I just threw Michael Bay under the bus, and I don't have a problem with that.
You know, you make a good point, though. I was just thinking the same thing. Like, in publishing, they offer huge advances to celebrities who have their books ghostwritten or whatever. They're not even writing real books, and they pay out these huge advances. But for the general person who wants to get their book published, it's so many different hurdles to get through, and then no advances anymore. Unless you're famous, you don't get an advance. So these little guys who are trying to get their work published through the big five are getting nothing and having to show that social proof of their book before anything happens. Whereas these companies are spending so much money on a name. They're throwing all that money at a name, which is cutting into what the regular people who want to get their books published could be doing to get their books out there and actually make some money off of it. And so what do? They turn to indie publishing because they can get it done themselves. So, you know, Big Five is shooting itself in the foot by that.
And yeah, you're totally right too. And we've had a guest on the show, and I won't say their name because they're kind of private about it, but that writes as a ghostwriter for a big publishing company. And they've told me they make just a ton of money doing it, way more than with the work that they're really passionate about. And, you know, that's the thing, you know, they have their brands, and they want to continue those brands because that's what's making them money. And as far as the way they treat us, you know, we've all seen movies of the, you know, medieval times in Europe, like Braveheart. I'll use Braveheart because most people have seen Braveheart. But, you know, the kings did not have to treat the peasants like shit like they did, but they did, because they knew if they gave just an inch that the peasants would start to climb up the ladder a little bit and eventually take over. And I think that's the idea behind smearing us little guys, is they don't want us to climb any higher. They know that we put out good content, and they've seen that we've had some major success stories, and they don't want that to continue at all. They just want to squash us out of existence.
But then the thing is too, then you see somebody who's an indie, who's a success, Big Five will go after them and throw that paycheck at them to bring them over to the dark side, so to speak. And then you've scooped up another one, and they think, well, it's instant money. This is already a proven success. I don't have to do any work. All I have to do is throw a little bit of cash at them, and they're mine.
Yeah. Well, and then you've got guys like Hugh Howey who throw money at him, but he still just hates everyone on earth. It doesn't care about telling you.
Well, I was just going to mention Tracy Cooper Posey, who has published over 100 books. She went both ways, you know. Rebecca, don't even touch that. She did traditional, and then she did indie, then she went back to traditional to try it again, and then she went back to, and then finally she settled on being indie for the rest of her days. And she just stayed with it because she tried it, and then she got successful being indie, and they groomed her again, and she's like, you know, no, I'm happy keeping all my money, thank you very much. I mean, so there are success stories out there, and you know, Hugh Howey is like the worst example of he is a success story, though, you know.
But we've also seen the hybrid model become much more popular too, because there's still that level of clout that comes with being traditionally published. And so if you have somebody who's traditionally published and they're putting out the indie stuff, they've got that perfect balance in the hybrid model where they've got the respect as well as the money.
Well, you're absolutely right. And especially when that's the second time. Oh, wait, hang on a second. Rebecca has a comment for you. We don't know which 50%. What? I don't even know what I was going to say now, Katie, but I was saying that you're absolutely right about something, and then I would probably follow up with fantastic or something like that.
We were talking about the hybrid model. Does this jog your memory a little bit?
Hybrid model. No, not really. Oh, but I did have a friend of mine tell me earlier this year that they were so happy that I'm finally really published. when I had announced the new book, I was like, What the hell do you think I've been doing for the last 8 years? Come on, guys.
And it hasn't. And you haven't been doing it under your own. You had a publisher for a few of those books.
But, you know, that's kind of, you know, that just goes right back to it. There's more credibility, I think, in most people's eyes if they see a publisher's name on there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is probably a lot of,
and that's a testament.
Do that. They put a company name. They, you know, they get an LLC or something and publish under that. That way, they have some perceived respectability. You know, having a label that's not just, you know, my name is.
Well, I can tell you right now, the IRS doesn't care either way.
No, they don't. In fact, it's actually more expensive to go that way. Like, you have to pay all the business licensing fees. You know, you're not saving any money.
But
would be called Dog Shit Incorporated.
But that's the beauty of somebody like Three Furious Press, who does do a lot of their marketing for themselves and for their authors and puts their name out there, and people are starting to recognize the name, and that legitimizes the author too, because the name is getting recognized. So, you know, which is silly because the author is legitimate no matter what, but in layman's terms and, you know, outside our realm's eyes, that's what it is. Right. So, Three Furious Press recognized that right away, and they stood and they branded themselves and labeled themselves, and then they use that as a marketing tool, and it's worked pretty good for them. Well, so.
And the beauty of like Three Furious Press or a lot of the small press publishers out there is they really do create that team effort, like Jason was talking about. They've got people who can do graphics, who can do book trailers, and they pull in the right people to build that team to help with each of the different parts of marketing. Yes, the author still has to do a lot of the legwork, but they've got that backing. They've got the support system there that they need.
TFB Woody Woo. Thank you, Julia. I love that. I'm not sure I understand, but I like it. Oh, and Rebecca says she's legit.
There was no question about that.
I'm resisting the urge to do all the dad jokes with that. It's so difficult. It's so tough. It's hard being 40. I'll tell you what. It really is.
And you're not even there yet. So wait till you get there. Wait till you get past it. Then you really feel it.
Couple more months.
I get things hurting that I never thought would ever hurt, you know.
Things hurting that you didn't know you had.
Yeah, that too. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It happens all the time.
Ooh, branding. Rebecca wants to put a branding iron to us. I mean, are we talking about books or something on her skin? I'm all about the body art, so I'm down. I'm just saying, you know.
Wait, we got to get brands now. What?
I guess. Oh, it looks. Spilling Ink Show says they are gorgeous. She loves brands. Oh, wait, that's us. That was us. All right.
Nice fine. Job.
Follow along, Jason. Follow along.
I know there's so many comments here to keep up with, guys. You remember when I couldn't figure out who Rajin Nabid is?
Yeah.
I wonder if that's some kind of thing. What's it called where you move the letters around and it forms a different word?
Anagram?
Yeah, that's what it's called.
And what if that's an anagram? Is that an anagram for something, Rajin? Rajin? Nothing? Okay, here, somebody tell us.
There's a delay. It'll take like a minute or so for them to catch up in the comments.
Oh, so how's life at home, guys?
Yeah, pretty good. Yeah. How was this year for you guys? I know we're supposed to be doing a year in review. So how was this year? Yeah, that's. What? I guess that's what I was told this show is about.
As usual, we get off track.
I wasn't told that. Oh, okay. Okay, so before we do year in review then, Rebecca's designing us. I mean, it's all about me, a jacket.
Ooh.
I like that idea. Yeah, it's like the ones they wear on Riverdale. Will be the Southside Three Furies presses.
Nice. I want patches. I want everybody's logo on a patch so I can do one of those like really gaudy patch jackets.
I like that idea.
That's awesome. That's an awesome idea. Yeah. I would do that. I would do that.
That's great. Like I would do it on like a jean jacket probably.
Because we got we got the Raven, we've got Go Indie Now, we've got Spilling Ink, and then we've got all of like the book logos. Like Jason, that new one that you just put out, awesome.
Do you like it?
I need that. That is really gorgeous.
I've been waiting to see if people like it. Oh, but while we're talking about this, so I can get off track so we can get back on track. That's how I have to roll. You guys know that. I wanted to tell people that because I know there's thousands of you watching right now, that the Raven, which is my more literary podcast I've been doing and I will continue to do, is actually going to be, I guess we could say, merging with Spilling Ink. It's gonna be on our same YouTube channel when I do videos for it, but just under a different playlist that says The Raven. And I'm planning on moving the podcast portion over onto the Spilling Ink podcast as well. I'm planning on that. Well, we'll see. But yeah, it's just I'm on both shows, and they're all kind of it's all about writing and reading and authors and stuff. So I figure, yeah, you know, we'll just kind of keep it in one place. And
then speaking about good branding. That's good branding.
Yes. You know what?
Because the more content your one channel produces, the better off you're going to be than trying to produce separate content on separate channels. You know, it's just spreading things out. Unless you're already an established brand that has followers that will move over and migrate to that idea, but like a lot of these YouTubers do. But they establish one channel as their flagship channel first, and then they move from that once the channel either gets really big and they can figure out how to monetize real quickly to the other channel and make more money that way. That's how they make more money, by doing that. But if you're not making money doing this, it doesn't make any sense until you know, for people to try and find three different things. You know what I mean? That's what was always my thought about Go Indie Now. It's like, I could easily do a 10-minute drill channel. I could do, you know, all my shows, I could do different channels for, but it would just be spreading myself so thin that, you know, eventually I would probably just have to shut down like five or six of the channels because none of them would be getting the play that one channel gets with all of the shows in one spot. You know, I think playlists are a big help in that regard. I think if you create playlists and do that, I'm finding that's become a real, real good asset. And I'm also finding that I've been using VidIQ. Just taking their training courses and learning keywords and things like that. But they talk about playlists a lot. And one of the things that they mention is that by creating playlists that have videos that are multiple places that you can find on your channel, you create more opportunity for the algorithm to find it because you've got it in three different places in the same space. So, you know, so if you have like, for example, I have my fall season of shows, all of my shows, no matter what it is, doesn't matter what the title is, what the content is, whatever I've done in the period I call the fall season, I put into one playlist, but I've also put each individual show into a playlist. So the 10-minute drill has a playlist, the Joe's Bar has a playlist, all of that. And so those, they have the same videos, they have crossover videos that are the same. But because they're in three different spots in the same location, they're easier to find for people, and it's been working. It actually has generated some views and some content that you know, some people staying in my subscribership has gone up quite a bit too because of it. So
awesome.
So I think that's one way to look at it. So if you guys do like a Ravens playlist and then do a Spilling Ink playlist and then, you know, do crossover playlists, like maybe do the week of, this is the week of our shows that we did this week. and do that, you might see a little bit more of a bump in your views and your subscribership from that. So.
Okay.
I like the idea of definitely playlisting everything. And Jason and I have been talking about throwing around kind of a webinar type idea of teaching snippets. And we could easily do a playlist of little quick 5-minute snippets too. That would be, you know, teasers for maybe a longer, you know, kind of training class kind of thing.
Yeah.
And the idea behind that Joe was that, I'm really looking, since we don't have a show sponsor right now, I'm really looking for a way to try to kind of cover the show's expenses. And sure. they aren't huge, but you know, if you figure you're paying $20 a month or whatever for this program, and then paying, you know, $15 a month for your podcast or whatever. And
yeah,
you know, it's, you know, I'd like to be able to put on a really, you know, a bigger scale, some kind of teaching module where Katie and I and maybe some other guest, you know, professors can come on and teach people about, you know, writing and publishing and use that as a fundraiser to try to, you know, hey, let's pay for this year of programming on Spilling Ink so we can keep bringing you guys this stuff. Because otherwise, you know, Katie's shelling out big bucks every month. And she's the rich one, though. I mean, she can handle it, you know. So
yeah, people don't realize that there is a cost associated with doing this and doing it right. And we were just talking about it off the air about how, you know, you want to, there's so much work that goes involved in these things, and people don't understand that because all they see is the end product. And I'm happy that people get to enjoy the sausage and don't get to see how it's made, as I always like to say. Because I don't know if that would do anything, but it just is something that I think the end results, there's a personal pride behind that. And I think that it really, if you show that, your audience will appreciate that and respect it. So
yeah, I agree. And we all work hard to make these shows good, and it may not be what some people think of as working hard. You're not going to work 40 hours a week to make this show for people, but we put a lot of effort and care into doing this and to bringing it to people. Oh, I mean, I like sausage too, Rebecca. Oh, you know, I've got to get off track again so I can get back on track.
Yeah.
Julia has said, you know, yo, you're going to have me on to Raven. And Julia, I'd like to have you on, but it's now that I've merged with Spilling Ink, it is a naturalist show. So it's like all nude all the time. So I didn't think you'd be down for that. But I guess if you're still into it, I mean, you could, you know, send an email to Katie, you know, with your sample pics or whatever. I don't know how she does it now, but yeah. Anyhow, sausage is good. I do like sausage.
Oh, dear Lord. My inbox is going to be flooded now. the beauty of our Spilling Ink team is we are a team. And we all kind of pick up the slack on different things. And, you know, having the Raven added to that just adds, you know, to what we can produce. And if Jason can't do an episode or needs some help bringing in stuff or bringing in, you know, people or having somebody come in and guest host it, then we can do that because we've got the team. It's not that solo thing where it's all you. You must control everything, Jason.
Rebecca's cracking me up. All she had to hear was nude, and she's in. Oh, where's Joe?
You know better than to poke the bear.
I like his new profile picture. Look, he disappeared.
Oh,
he's
no.
gone.
You scared him away.
Yes.
Oh.
I know it.
But I am excited for the opportunities that we can come up with, you know, and
yeah,
our future potential projects.
I think it's going to be cool. And I'm excited for, it's not next year, but 2021, you and I get to go up to, is it Calgary that we're going to?
I'm excited for that.
Yeah, that's going to be fun. And I've been talking to Mickey off and on about, you know, well, let's just say I'm bugging him. About getting us some more opportunities like that to actually take this show and bring it on the road to talk to people at conventions or, you know, library shows, whatever we've got to do, because I think that I really, really love traveling. And I think it'd be fun to just go and do this more often, whether we're going to do a show as the Raven or as Spilling Ink, it, it really doesn't matter. You know, we're just up there doing our thing, you know?
So does that mean we need to change the logo where we flip the little ink splosh to go behind the raven?
No, I will work on it because we've already got our amazing cat butt logo. So maybe I'll have a little bird up there too, like perched on the cat or something.
There we go. Yeah, we need to come up with a good merged logo for this.
Yeah, I'll think of something. It'll be good.
Splatter. That's the OG logo is the splatter. So we got to have that somewhere.
Well, yeah. Oh, and we don't have the splatter on the cat butt, do we?
No, I thought about it, but all right. I left that one alone.
All right, I'll work on it. I'll work on it. I'll think of something good here. Rebecca's been making me design my own graphics, so I'm trying to get better at this whole thing. Yeah.
Oh, speaking of that, mm-hmm. I learned of a new program that I'm actually beta testing right now. Not that it's in beta, but I'm testing it to see the feasibility of using it long term, and it's you know, Adobe has InDesign and it has yep. Photoshop and it has Illustrator and there's lots of subscriptions and all that stuff that go with it.
Yes.
This is almost identical. And I've been playing with it for about 3 or 4 days now. And I haven't got all 3 modules yet, but they are one-time purchase and no subscription. They are about $50 each. And the company is called Affinity. And they have a clone of InDesign, basically. A clone of Photoshop and Publisher. And I'm like really excited about using them because they seem really user-friendly. I come from using Photoshop and the interface, the usability of it, it's all kind of identical. And it might be my new
and it's called new
software.
Affinity?
Uh-huh.
Okay. I'll have to check it out because, you know, I never learned InDesign because I'm pretty proficient with Photoshop, but I didn't want to have to start paying for InDesign as well. So I've just kind of written it off as something I'm never going to learn. But you know, if there's a InDesign type, you know, clone that's $50, that would be well worth.
So far, so good. And I'm actually laying out a book for a client right now that's a poetry book, which is so much different than laying out a traditional novel because it's none of the spacing is the same. You need that flexibility of being able to design across anything on the page. And so far, so good. I'm really having an easy time using it. The interface is great. And it's exporting PDFs just like, you know, I would be using anywhere else. So print quality, margins are easy to set. Graphics are easy to place. So far, so good. Knock on wood now that I've said that.
Okay. I think everything that you sounded good, everything you said sounded good, but you know, I can't really concentrate on anything when I've got Rebecca and her husband commenting on our stuff. Regine says that we need a bird asshole. All right. And then he corrected himself to say cloaca, which I'm impressed with. Regine, why do you know that? That's impressive. But then this is the winner in what I'm about to send a text to my wife about. Rebecca Jonesy suggests the logo be an inkwell knocked over by a cat with the splatter and a raven perched on its rump. Rebecca, now I know why Three Furies Press is such a success. It's your genius and also Julie and Isa. But your genius that's making it happen. Yeah.
That's it. So that's our new logo right there. That's perfect.
I love it. I'm gonna give it to Heather and be like, hey, do you want a project that's gonna take you all night? No! I've got one for you. Joe, where did you go? Did you go to get a drink?
No, sorry, my the Wi-Fi in here is there's certain spots that are dead, I guess, and so I'm now in my mother-in-law and father-in-law's bedroom because this is directly the room that's direct toward the router, so I shouldn't lose you again, but that's where I'm at. So
I understand. I mean, I was in my office earlier this morning and I've been having weird internet issues all day, and this is it's an embarrassing story, and most of us have probably had something similar to this happen. I was recording with a guest that I fought really hard to get. It was an important recording and my internet was so crappy during it that I had to ask them to completely redo big sections of it. And it's just like, you feel like the biggest doofus ever, you know, but it's like, it happens, you know, and this is where, like, directly above me is the router, and I can't have this any closer to it because there's a crap load of dogs and kids straight up there. But, you know, I don't know. Sometimes I think the internet gods just hate us.
It's true.
Especially in those moments that seem to hate us the most. Yeah. I've had that happen quite a bit. It's usually when it is somebody who has limited amount of time, or, you know, they only have 30 minutes to do this, so let's get this done right now, and this is the only time they can do it within the next 3 months.
Yep.
So, and then, of course, and then your internet doesn't work, and you're just like, what the? Yeah.
We've had a guest that I've been getting an email from their publicist, and we've been playing email tag for months, and I will send a message, and it will literally be 3 weeks before this lady responds to me. And by the time she's responded to me, we've rebooked that month, you know, so we don't have the time that I originally quoted her. And so I will send her the new dates, and then it's 3 weeks before she gets back. Finally, she sends me an email. She's like, can I just put you in touch with the client directly? Because this is ridiculous. I'm like, yeah.
Yep. Oh, man. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Good fun. Well, and then I have people that, well, and you and I have experienced this too for Spilling Ink, but when people, when people that you aren't friends with or haven't liked your page on Facebook send you a message to try to get on the show or ask you a question about the show, only you don't ever get that message because it's hidden in the little message request folder, whatever. And I don't ever click on that. Why would I click on that? So it's just there 3 months later. And here I am, the, you know, the a-hole who didn't write you back. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to.
I experienced this, something very similar with my people who were going on my Go Indie Now page and using the inbox there. And, you know, unless I get a notice to check it, I never check it because it's just there. And so now I do regularly, but when I first started, it didn't dawn on me that I could have another inbox on Facebook. Right. And so people were messaging me and I was like, okay. And then Facebook was telling me, you better start answering your messages. You're getting dinged. And then it shows on my page that he doesn't answer his messages within 3 weeks or whatever. And it's like, where are these messages? And so I had to find them. And then I finally found them. And now it's okay. But it was just like, yeah, you know, thanks a lot, Facebook. Just kind of just kick me when I'm down, you know?
Oh, Facebook's naughty. They, the Messenger app. If you have a page, you have to also install the Messenger for your page. So I was at, this happened this summer. I was at Phoenix Comic Con, and I'm getting dinged for messages. I can see that I have a message, but I can't open it because I didn't install it. So I'm sending a message to Jason. I'm like, somebody open up our messages on Spilling Ink. I don't know what this person is saying. And they're like constantly pinging me. Like they were literally like every line pinging me.
And then the funny thing is that never mind. I'm not going to get into that message chain. No, never mind. We're going to gloss over that. So I want to start a new segment here.
Great year. It's great.
Motherfuckers year. That text and message you too much. No. We're not going to do that. I would like to hear what your favorite book is that you read this year. Katie, you could just say didn't read any books this year.
I got to beta read books, so I'm not sure if they're published yet.
Well,
I can't give you that because I'm revealing that on the 29th on my show, so I can't give you
Joe
the number one one. I'll give you the three I've revealed so far if you'd like. Five.
Joe, you want me to
five, four,
you're
and three.
Give me the bullshit ones.
Yeah, the ones that are reject.
Second place is the first loser or something like
Fine.
That.
Fine.
Yeah, I can't reveal it. I would love, as much as I would love to reveal it here, I can't. I've already recorded that show and so that show is going to be published on the 29th. So
you're ruining this segment, Joe.
It's sorry.
Brand new segment and you've already ruined it. And Katie, you've got nothing?
I can't say if they're not published yet. But
all right, well, fine then.
I don't get to read any books anymore. I get to beta read books, which is great.
Katie, I would love to hear what the Raven's favorite book was for the year.
Yeah. So you guys' turn is over since you both suck.
I'll shut up now.
I have read a shitload of books this year. so many more than I would ever normally read. And I've had some really, really fantastic books and some books that were just god awful. And I won't tell you what the god awful ones were on air. But I would say my top three, and I will give you number one. I'm not like Joe. he will just give you a number two right in your face.
Wow.
All right. So top three are going to be Our War by Craig DeLuie.
Oh, I need to read that one.
And that was an author that I wasn't familiar with, even though he's quite popular. And the book is just phenomenal. I was so, so happy I read it. I really enjoyed Tosca Lee's two thrillers. I enjoyed The Line Between and A Single Light. I thought they were excellent reads. And then my favorite book that I've read this last year was actually by a frequent guest of ours, Catherine Hudson. It is a LGBT thriller called Sleep, Water, Beat, and it is just phenomenal. I mean, I cannot say enough how good this freaking book is. I mean, it's just right down. I mean, everything from the writing, the language of it, to the overall themes, it was just freaking gorgeous. So that's my favorite book. And I guess we're going to rename the segment What Jason Thinks, because nobody else wants to participate.
I will say, though, what's really cool about the three authors that you named is that not only are they incredibly talented authors, and they are incredibly talented authors, but they're incredibly talented people too. And I've had the pleasure of speaking to two out of the three, and I have to, and the third one I actually spoke through your show on. I was just being in the chat, but so I've actually spoken to all three, I guess technically, but.
Who haven't you had on your show yet?
Well, because Craig DeLuie and Tosca Lee are both traditional published authors, so the indie thing doesn't care. But I've had conversations with Tosca before.
Did Craig start out indie?
He did, but he's traditionally published now.
If you talk to Creative Edge, we'll make it happen, Mickey.
Well, yeah, no, yeah. I could easily do it. It's just that. You know, because I am concentrating on the indie thing.
Yeah, I've got the situation flip flop in my head.
Yep. No, it's not a matter of I couldn't talk to them. In fact, I've been offered to talk to them before, and you know, I've had to talk about the fact that I'm just concentrating on indies, and that's what I do. So it's just the way that I've branded this. So
yeah, and like, of course.
I just think they're amazing people. Kat is one of those rare, special people that you get to talk to, and she's a ball of fire. And
oh my god, yeah.
And the fact that she lives on a freeway that is constantly being bombarded by big trucks, and I mean, I don't know how she does it, because every time she's on my show, I hear the big trucks roll by, and I go, how do you write with that behind you? That's crazy. It
becomes white noise after a while.
Probably.
I used to live by the airfield, and the jets would go over all the time. And after a while, you just kind of forget about them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and have you say, I just released Kat's recent episode on The Raven not long ago. Did I release it? Maybe. I might have released a new one, but
a while ago. You had one a while ago.
I had one for her daughters Daughter of the Draken.
That's the one I listened to.
Okay. There, if I haven't released it yet, I will be in a couple days, but on Sleepwater Beat. And it was just the most phenomenal interview. Joe, you will be so happy. As an interviewer and an author and a reader, you will just be like, Mamma Mia.
Well, you're a fantastic interviewer. You don't give yourself enough credit. You're a really good interviewer. I enjoy it. I mean, I am a subscriber to the Raven. I listen to it. I am a few episodes behind, but I skip ahead when I see somebody I really, really know and like B.S. Holmes. I watched that one and listened to that one.
They're awesome.
I do listen, and I find that you really
you really come at it the way that you approach this show, and I think that's to your benefit, because that makes you a pretty good interviewer.
You're a natural interviewer.
Thank you, Joe and Katie. Look at you guys. I'll tell you what, guys, though, I can't give up the depression, though. The depression is what makes it all work. That's what brings it all together. So I can't let it go to my head.
Yeah, you seriously. I remember when you did The Odd Ones Out, you did the interview with him at Comic-Con. Yeah. And you were so natural and relaxed, and it was a great interview to watch, but to also see like how just you flow with the other person. There's no awkward pauses. There's no there's no tension at all. It's like natural conversation, and you get people to open up. That's a skill not everyone has.
I'll tell you, for anybody who's new to The Raven, who's watching this right now, and has never seen The Raven, I highly, highly recommend. And this is a one that he did live, but I highly recommend that you download the Miranda Oh interview. To me, that is the essential Jason Lavelle interview. The two of them,
personality too.
The two of them could not stop laughing, and it was a lot of fun. And I learned, you know, this is the cool thing about what you do. You disarm people a lot. And in doing so, you get things that nobody else has gotten from these authors. I didn't know the couple things that you got from Miranda that I learned about her through what you guys were talking about. And you guys, it just naturally came about. So I think if anybody really wants to get an idea of what The Raven's really about, that one and the J.D. Estrada one are really good. Those are my two favorites so far.
Well, thank you, Joe. You guys are making me feel really good tonight. I appreciate that. And I'm not even being a dick about it. You really are making me feel good. And thank you. I appreciate that.
No, yeah, well,
you guys know I've had a weird rough year with my emotional and mental health. So it's always nice for us to hear nice things about ourselves. You know, that's good. And that's something that everybody
else. I think this year's been a really a downer year for a lot of people, bringing it full circle to the year. And, you know, I just think people struggled mentally and with a lot of things. And, you know, I just want to say to anybody out there who's struggling, you know, just know that I know with depression, it's a clinical thing. So this may not go over very well, but just know that there's another day ahead and things are going to get better. I promise you. And, you know, I mean, I don't want to loan myself out to every person. I'm not a licensed psychologist or anything, but anybody who just needs to talk about anything, I'm always there. You can just reach me on Messenger and I will talk to you. I don't have a problem with that. And I don't have a problem not talking about your problems. We can talk about whatever you want, Pokemon or whatever the fuck, even if I don't know about it, I'll talk about it. So
that is so important. It really is. Sometimes you don't want to talk about your problems. You just want somebody who's a friendly ear just there to just shoot the shit with you.
And there's plenty of those out there. That's the great thing about our community. You know, I think that's one of the really positive things about who we are and what we do. And you know, I know it's been a shit year for a lot of people in terms of their emotions and things going on. And I can easily say that, you know, I have the answer to why that is. But really, honestly, everybody's different and has different things going on. So I'm not, you know, I don't want to belittle anybody's by my stupidity idea of why I think politically we're all in a shitstorm.
I understand what you're saying. And I think that anybody listening would understand what you're saying, Joe. You know, we don't want to diminish what anyone's going through when it comes to, you know, actual chemicals in our brains or traumatic events that may be happening or anything else. But, you know, I think the bottom line with what you're trying to say is that, you know, a lot of us have an open ear. I think that anyone that I've met on this show or that I even associate with online, they're good people. They're nice people that if you need someone to talk to, you're going to be able to talk to them. And it doesn't matter if it's just Julia, if she's still around, will probably attest that about 2 weeks ago, I sent her a message and I said, I'm struggling really bad. I don't want to talk. I just wanted to tell you. And for the last couple of weeks, she's sent me, you know, cute little memes or funny memes and whatever. And I didn't respond most of the time because I didn't feel like I could talk to people really, but we see it.
Yeah.
We see it. We know that you're there. And yeah. It's important to have that. And so Rebecca, you can't post pictures here. Only I can. But so we're going to get off that subject because I want to share something with you that Rebecca just sent me. How Chrome has lost permission to share your screen? How is that possible? I just shared my screen a little while ago, didn't I? What the heck?
I think you shared it yet tonight.
Not tonight.
Oh, I didn't? Oh, man, I must have, maybe my computer updated. Anyhow, Rebecca created the cat butt ink blot. Raven nice. Logo for us. So I'll post that on the Spilling Ink page later. And I do want to say, since this is the end of the show, and then I'm going to give it back to other people so I don't keep hogging all the attention, but I did want to tell you guys this, that I actually am working on a kind of a secret project right now that won't be secret for long. I am starting a new show. It doesn't have anything to do with anything that we've all worked on before, and this is actually a show focused around the LGBTQ plus community, in bringing awareness to not only the struggles but the strengths and the resiliency of the community. And it's something that's very, very special to me. I have a lot of great people that are coming on to tell their stories, to try to reach out to other people that might be struggling in the world with whatever they're going through. So, nice. And if anybody's interested in hearing more about that or seeing it, send me a message and I will certainly talk to you about it. But it's not something I'm just advertising, because I'm trying to share this with safe people and people that really need it in their lives. I don't want a whole bunch of haters out there. Not that we have a whole lot of haters on our show, but that's my deal. So Joe, it looks like our time has about come to an end today. Is there anything else you'd like to share with our viewers and listeners? And Rebecca Jonesy.
Yeah. Well, Rebecca will be there tomorrow, so I don't have to worry about it. But tomorrow morning, at noon Eastern time, we go live with our 10-minute drill all-star game. We're going to play the game. I got a 4-on-4 competition that we'll be doing, and it's going to be a lot of fun, and we're going to do it live. So that'll be noon Eastern tomorrow on our YouTube channel, on Goni Now YouTube channel. And then, I've got a couple more shows before the year is over, so look out for that. And, look out for my book, I guess, in March. And I'll probably be on here again before then, hopefully, if these wonderful people will have me. But, otherwise, yeah. So March is the launch of my book. And other than that, everybody go see Star Wars so I can start talking about it too.
I'm
fucking tired of holding in my
I'm waiting for a paycheck, man.
Joe, I can't believe you picked 9 a.m. on a Sunday morning for the 10-minute drill. You hate me, don't you?
You just said 12, Katie.
Eastern.
Oh. Dude, I'm interviewing someone tomorrow that lives in the UK, and that time zone thing was a bit of a challenge. I will be up extra stupid early.
Do early morning, especially a weekend early morning. Oh, I will probably be wearing the exact same clothes because
it is 1.5 hour of your life that you're giving me, Katie Salida. So just deal with it.
I will bring it for the team, but I guarantee you I'll probably be wearing the same outfit because I will have crashed on the couch so that I will make sure that when the alarm goes off, I can turn the computer on and be here.
The competition's 10 minutes, Jason, but you have to factor in the fact that I have Katie Salidas, Brian Tan, and Rebecca Jonesy on the show. That adds extra minutes pretty easily, pretty fast.
Were you thinking, Joe? Oh my God. And Katie,
you know what? They got one thing working in their favor, though. At 9 a.m., I'm not fully awake. Therefore,
Brian will be up.
Will be short.
Okay. So, Katie, before Rebecca has a stroke, you got to open up your Facebook Messenger, open the picture, and do a screen share for her.
Okay. Okay. I don't even have Facebook open because I kill everything else when I run shows.
I know, but she's about to blow.
Okay. Okay. Let me see if I can find it.
Also, Rebecca.
Not Duncan, in the way that she normally does.
Also, Rebecca says, East Coast gonna win. Suck it, Katie.
Wow.
Yeah.
Really? I mean, come on now.
Oh my God, Jason. I woke up on, I got the teams together on Monday. I woke up on Tuesday morning. I had 97 unread messages in my messenger because they've been back and forth, the three of them.
Yeah.
Just talking trash. That's awesome.
I love it. I'll do a little fine tuning, Rebecca, but I love it. Send me the Photoshop file. Oh, goodness. Well, I'll tell you what. They can all talk. Yep, they can all talk. All right, guys, that is the end of the show tonight. You've been wonderful. Joe, it was wonderful to have you. You know,
I always love having you.
I do. Katie, I'm so glad you could join us tonight. It was good to see you again after all this time. And I'm glad to hear about your new work.
It's been a very long time. We've pretty much taken all of December off.
Yes, we have. Yes, we have.
It's been a crazy
sorry to ruin that for you.
No, it's good because I needed to get back on in front of you people. I've been the new show I've been working on, it's fulfilling in my heart in a way that I didn't know was achievable in doing this kind of thing. But it's very, very, very heavy. And sometimes you just need to have fun.
Yeah.
So thank you for having fun with me tonight, guys.
And let me say a special thank you to Rebecca Jonesy for my Christmas present.
I can't see it. There's glare on it. Rebecca, Katie, get rid of the glare.
I can't get rid of the glare.
Oh,
it's a copper cup.
Oh, it's copper?
It's for drinking Moscow mules. And I had been lamenting that when my family asks what I want for Christmas, especially my oldest daughter, who usually loves just going nuts buying presents for everybody, I told her, get me these. I want these because I've developed a taste for the drink. I really like Moscow. They're delicious.
What is it? Can you tell me what's in it?
It's essentially a base of ginger beer and vodka, and then you add in whatever fruit additive flavors you want to. And they're meant to be drunk in these copper cups because it helps retain the cold. And I was like, I want these. And I told my daughter, and she literally blew every dollar she's had on the new boyfriend. I was like, yeah, that ain't happening. I know I'm not getting that for Christmas now.
Well,
and the next day, or not the next day, it was 2 days later, Amazon drops a package off. And I thought it's one of my packages because I've been ordering, obviously, for Christmas. I rip it open. I'm like, I didn't order this. What is this? And I see the note, and it was from Rebecca. So I immediately had to jump online and go, oh, my God, you brat. Thank you.
Rebecca, you are such a sweetheart. I do want to bring something up, though, because I am that guy. Now, I learned way, way back when in physical science that copper conducts heat extremely fast, which would make it a terrible insulator. So it seemed like it wouldn't retain the cold very well.
I don't know what it is about them, but it does. I mean, it's ice cold.
Really? Ice,
it's not melting in it at all.
What do you call that kind of glass?
It's just a copper mug.
I'm going to have to look into this because I've got to get my head around the science before I can, you know, because I've got a new Keurig. So, I mean, I would love to have a copper coffee mug.
Oh, I don't know if heat would be a good idea though. Yeah, I'm not sure about heat.
You ruined my new segment and now the freaking coffee mug. Guys, we'll see you next week. Maybe. We're not going to see you next week. Probably, are we, Katie?
Unless we want to do a New Year's show, I don't believe we have anybody booked. We're starting back again in January.
I will see what I can come up with. Maybe we'll see you next week, guys.
Okay.
But that's it. I'm going to go watch some Brooklyn Nine-Nine. Everybody have a good night. See ya.
Bye.